Here, answer the phone, will you?
You answer it. It might be the Countess.
Oh, for God's sake. What you so darn scared the Countess for?
Well, she'd be pretty dang sore about me not showing up to her party the other night. I don't want to talk to her.
Yes, but it wasn't your fault you didn't show up. You got a good excuse, ain't you?
Well, I don't want to tell her I got pinched.
Oh, sure. She didn't get pinched. That darn fool cop is crazy. Go on, answer the phone.
I ain't gonna answer it, tell you. I ain't gonna talk to her.
Oh, land of Goshen. You give me a pain. Always got some clap reason for not working. Always. hello? Oh, hello, Hector. Well, now, you don't tell me. Well, that's fine, Hector.
Who is it?
You bet we will, Hector. All right, Hector. Goodbye, Hector. It is Hector.
What did he want?
He just called up to tell me how he's getting along working on the Gazette. He's suddenly fired with enthusiasm about that job.
I bet he's been fired with enthusiasm from every job he ever had.
I mean the boy's making good. I tell you, there's been a big change in Hector lately. He's sort of settled down, getting a mite steadier.
If he gets any steadier than he is, he'll be absolutely motionless.
Well, I don't know about that now. If Hector didn't have something, the Gazette wouldn't be supporting him from here.
Ah, shucks.
And you gotta admit the young feller's got a good heart. Why, do you know how he come to go after Professor Thistlewaite and fetch him back here? He did it for Hortense.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, you remember how Hortense was all busted up about the Professor Thistlewaite disappearing.
Yes.
Well, sure, Hector found out about it and went and found Professor Thistlewaite, even though he was in love with Hortense himself. As long as she was happy, he was willing to make the sacrifice.
What did Hortense want to sacrifice for?
She didn't want no sacrifice. Hector.
Oh, Hector wanted the sacrifice.
No, he didn't. He didn't. I'm telling you.
Well, then who did want the sacrifice?
Nobody. Nobody.
Well, what was Hector's idea in making it then?
He didn't make no ice. I said he made a sacrifice. That's when you do something for somebody. You know, like, when the prodigal son came back. His pa killed the fatted calf.
Why, was it the calf's fault?
No, of course it wasn't. Of course it wasn't.
Then what did he kill it for?
Because that's what I'm telling you. He made a sacrifice when his son came back. He was watching for him, and when he seen him coming, he ran and fell on his neck.
And what did he do, slip on the ice?
Oh, dad ding it, no. I'm telling you, there weren't no ice. He just saw his son a-coming, run out and fell on his neck, and then killed the fatted calf.
Blame the poor cat, huh? Just because he happened to fall down.
Oh, he didn't blame the cat. He didn't blame the cat for nothing. He just killed it when the son came back to make the sacrifice. And that's what Hector done.
You mean Hector killed somebody's calf when Professor Thistlewaite come back?
No, I don't. I don't mean no such thing.
What in tarnation you been talking about for the last half hour?
I've just been telling you a parable.
Tell me what?
A parable. A parable like the... like the parable of the loaves and fishes.
What say?
I said the parable of the loaves and fishes. Sakes alive, you know what a parable is, don't you?
Yeah, my Uncle Jake is one.
Oh, how can your Uncle Jake be a parable?
Because he loafs and fishes.
But a parable don't loaf and fish.
Shucks. You talk like a crazy fella, Zeb. First it's ice, and then it's calves, and then it's fishes.
Now, Ed, you're getting all mixed up again. And I was only telling you that... Oh, look, wait, see, Ed, ain't that the Countess crossing the street there?
Where?
Right there.
Oh, gosh sakes. Gosh sakes if it ain't. And she's heading this way, too.
Yes. Say, you better skin out of here if you don't want to see her.
Yeah, but, dad ding it, I can't get out. I can't get out of here. She'll see me.
Wait. Now, listen. Duck into that empty packing box there. Now, go on, get in the packing box. She's coming in here.
Don't rush me. Don't rush me.
Go on. Get in. Stoop down here.
Yeah, but come.
Just stoop down and tell him I'll put these loose boards over the top. Go on, stoop down.
Wait a second.
Stoop down. Here she is.
And where is Monsieur Ebb this morning?
Howdy, Countess. Who? Ebb?
Definitely.
Oh, well, Ebb, I don't seem to see him around right now. I reckon that...
Ow!
Excuse me, Countess, but I got a sort of pain right here in my stomach.
Oh, that is too bad.
Yes.
I hope it is not a tapeworm.
No, I don't reckon it's tapeworm. Just something to eat, more than likely. Something I can do for you?
Oh, no. I just stopped in to find out about Monsieur Ebb, as he did not attend my party. I thought perhaps he was sick and confined to his bed.
Well, Ebb ain't exactly sick, but he's sort of confined.
Oh, Monsieur Winterbottom, I cannot do something for you. Can I
not? No. It'll stop in a minute, Countess. It'll stop. Stop. You darn fool. Oh, gosh, it took me kind of sudden that time.
Are you sure it is not a tapeworm, Monsieur? Mm-hmm. I remember my brother. He has just been...
Ow. Yes, it is a tapeworm, Countess, and it's hard to get out.
Monsieur Ed, what is the matter? What kind of a duck is it?
Duck? Well, no tack. It was a dead darn long nail on the side of the box. And the darn thing was sticking in the head.
Yes, yes. You see, Countess, Ebb crawled into the box to take a nap. You see, he ain't been feeling so good.
Oh, Monsieur Ebb, I am so sorry. What kind of a case is it?
It's a packing case.
Monsieur Ebb, I think you are not the boy. I think you were hiding from me.
Yes, that's it. He's just playing a little joke.
Well, if you think it's a joke, having a dad darn long nail.
Shut up, you darn fool. What'd you say, Countess?
Oh, I did not say anything.
Oh, didn't you?
But I have something to say. Something very important. Monsieur Ebb, some of my very good friends, I have been discussing this political situation here in Corn Center. And we think that what this town needs is a change of administration. We think that Monsieur Schultzenheimer has been mayor for too long. Do you not agree?
Well, I don't know, Countess. Old man Schultzenheimer's made a pretty good mayor.
Oh, we do not think so. This Schultzenheimer, he may be a good man, yes. But he is, old-fashioned and unprogressive. Corn Center needs a more energetic mayor. And we have just the man in mind. Mature, yet youthful, with youthful ideas. A successful businessman, a man with a will of his own, who will not be the tool of the scheming politician.
You mean Hector Smith, Countess?
Oh, but no. Hector Smith, he is a nobody. A clown. I mean, Monsieur Ebb.
You mean me, me for mayor?
But yes, and why not?
Oh, sure. I ain't no politician.
Oh, but that is just the point. We do not say they are the professional politician. We want a real man, somebody who is big and strong and fearless, like yourself, Monsieur Ebb. Somebody who is honorable and upstanding.
Yeah, well, I'm upstanding all right. Up at 6 o'clock in the morning, standing on my feet all day.
But, Monsieur, it is duty... Duty that calls you, like the trumpet of war, the trumpet whose ringing tones sound above the tumult of battle, the trumpet whose voice says, forward, charge, charge, always charge.
Yeah, that's the whole damn trouble. It's always charge. Nobody wants to pay cash.
Oh, I mean charge, like the charge in battle, like the charge of the brave soldier going forth to victory, to triumph.
Well, I don't know. I don't think I could spare the time off from the store and service station.
Oh, sure you could, Ebb. I can run the store and service station.
Well, I don't know. You think I could beat old man Schultzenheimer?
Oh, that would be easy. Why, Monsieur Ebb, there would be no stopping a man like you. You would go on and on and on, your banner flying, your trumpet sounding, the foe falling back before you, routed, fleeing in retreat.
That's right.
And think of the honor, the glory. Think of your name being on every lip.
Yes.
The people shouting for you. Vive la Monsieur Ebb! Vive la Monsieur Ebb! Marchons! Marchons! What is the matter with Monsieur Ebb?
He's all right.
He's all right. Monsieur Ebb!
Yes, sir.
Well...
him.
Yeah, darn if I don't think it over.
And you will win the victory, monsieur. You will win for Juan Sincere and for me, mon cher.
Of course you will, Ed. Of course you will.
My chauffeur, Monsieur Vester, he is also going to run on the same, on the same ticket. He is going to run for sheriff.
You mean he's going to run again, Sheriff Plum?
Oh, but yes. We have to make the clean sweep. I will ask Monsieur Vestra to call on you and talk over the matter of the campaign fund.
The campaign fund? How do you mean?
I mean the money for the campaign. You know, it costs money to be elected. And now, Monsieur, permit me to be the first to congratulate you.
Yeah, but just a second here. How much money is it going to take?
Oh, I do not know. But not very much. Only $4,000 or $5,000. Bien, I must be going. Au revoir, monsieur. Monsieur Ebb, I have not forgotten the little note. Au revoir.
Bye. That ding-a-deb? Put her there. Put her there, Ebb. By cracky, you're going to be the next mayor, no mistake. Shake on it.
Ah, shucks.